again. One of my guests for Monday's morning show is novelist Bert Solomon. In his book, The Murder of Willie Lincoln, he creates a very intriguing premise. What if Willie Lincoln did not die of typhoid fever, but in fact was poisoned by a Confederate sympathizer? At the heart of the novel is John Hay, Lincoln's secretary, trying to get to the bottom of the mystery. Support comes from Carthage College, combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation. Info at carthage.edu.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
This is Community Matters. I am Troy McDonald. Thank you for joining us this morning. For over 20 years, Miss Latina Racine has been encouraging young women in our area to commit to education. Today's guest has overcome tremendous odds, yet through it all, she's persevered and become 2017's Miss Latina Racine. We are honored to welcome Maria Castillo to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you grew up in Racine. Talk about what it was like growing up in Racine. How did that shape your worldview?
Well, I think Racine is very, very unique in the way that you don't have just one race dominating the rest. You have a mix of everyone. It's very diverse. So growing up, I did have a diverse elementary school, diverse middle school, and high school. And I think that just allowed me to see the worldly views of everyone and not just one particular side.
And how do you think that played a role in your personal life? What did you take away from seeing that diversity?
I took away that we all are very different, and even if we look alike, speak alike, dress alike, act alike, mentally we're not all alike, and that's very unique. That's something that I like. Yeah.
Wow. You stated in past interviews that you wanted to be a voice for the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that?
I mean that a lot of our teenagers and other forms of adolescence do not get their voice heard a lot of the time. We hear a lot from children, and we ask children what they think about certain things, or we ask the elderly how they're feeling. But we seem to neglect the adolescents from middle to high school, and I guess that's where a lot of angst comes from not getting that voice. And I'd like to be that voice for the Latino community.
Right. That's so true. I often say that we tell kids to sit down and shut up until they're like 15 years old, and then we expect them to be creative, well-rounded human beings all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And so you're right, that period does kind of get lost. How did you make it through that period? Did you have people in your life kind of reinforcing positive messages?
I was lucky enough to have very nice teachers willing to allow the creativity, and as well as my parents. They told me to think outside of the box and to think more creatively, and the teachers that I did have, they allowed that as well. They didn't push it aside or anything. If I had something to say, I could feel comfortable enough saying it in their classroom. That was very fortunate of me to have.
Right. That's amazing. And your parents played such a critical role. How much did they value education? Because there are different levels of valuing education. If your parents tell you, right, to go out and get your education, but you have to go home and babysit, you know, your little brother, you know, it really depends how much they truly value education. So how about your parents?
They valued it so immensely that every day they would remind us, remember, education comes first. Outside of anything else, education is the most important thing. It is how you can get a job. It is how you'll get money. It is how you'll feed yourself. It is how you'll survive. So they drilled that into our brains that it was the best thing that could happen to us is to become educated.
Right. And I know for me, I felt the pressure being a young man of color to make it. Because not many of us do. And so my mother stressed for me as well, education. Did you feel that kind of overwhelming sense that you had to make it for your community to succeed? Or was it more of a personal thing for you?
It is made personal in how I want to make it so then everyone else sees a Latina make it.
Right.
So they both kind of go with each other. Hmm. It is a personal choice because I want to show people that I can.
Hmm.
So I will.
Right. Yeah. And you are. And you are. Racing unemployment, you know, is staggering. Nearly 30% of families are below the federal poverty line. Do you know families in Racine that were affected? I'm sure you went to school with families who were affected by that. Did you see a difference in how they kind of interacted with school compared to how you had this strong foundation at home?
Not that I noticed particularly. I know I had some friends act as though they were more determined, but then the outside world will tell them, hey, you're Latino, you probably shouldn't, and then they'd they'd kind of hide away and then go back to not trying as hard as they could be.
Right.
Yeah.
To kind of fit in.
Yes.
Right. That's what I experienced too, was that I was not willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't the popular person because of that. Did you face that? Or were you, I'm sure you were popular. You're Miss Latina Racine. Of course you're popular.
Well, I do like to face the odds. So I didn't care much for having to fit in.
Mm.
So if it meant not going to a school event because I would stay home and study, I would be entirely okay with that. I could probably laugh with my friends at a different point in time, but I know in that moment I should probably be studying for an exam. But then again, if I did have nothing to study for, I would entirely go out to the school event. So for me, it wasn't a matter of going to the event to fit in or staying home to study. It was just whatever I felt that I needed to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of strength.
Thank you.
To at such a young age to do that, you know, when so many people are dropping out, did you ever think about that? Did you ever see, man, so many people are dropping out, it could be easier if I did something else?
No.
No.
I didn't see myself doing anything else. All I knew was school, 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 and then my parents telling me, hey, you should do school. And I'm like, well, I already am, and I should just keep doing it. So here I am.
Wow. Wow. Did you always love school, or did you have to kind of adapt over time to?
Well, I like school. I like learning. I know teachers just have a different way of having that learning and education process coming across to a student. That can be the deterrent for some students. They don't like how a teacher teaches. They don't like how a teacher does this or that, and it doesn't fit them. But I just kind of worked with them, and I would let them know if something wasn't working for me. And I would kind of use that.
Wow. And see, that's an interesting point, because a lot of people forget that it is a two-way dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just the teacher preaching for 45 minutes and then the bell rings.
Yeah.
You can have a dialogue and say, hey, I really want to succeed here. Here's what works for me.
Yes.
Wow. Did other kids do that, or were you one of the – because that's revolutionary.
I'm not entirely sure. Throughout high school, I was in the IB program, which kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
The IB program?
So it's an international baccalaureate.
Okay.
So it's international, so it's like a step up from AP.
Okay.
It's worldwide, so your credits can apply anywhere.
Wow.
So it was so vigorous because it's worldwide that kids would start dropping it and they'd go to regular classes or they'd try AP for them better. So by my senior year, only 10 of us graduated with that diploma. So of us 10, yes, we did interact with our teachers.
Right.
As for the other students, I can't say.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's a common thread of people who are that successful, right? Is that
yeah.
They are willing to speak up for what mm-hmm. they want. You mentioned earlier, but we'll touch on it again, that you viewed education as a lifeline,
mm-hmm.
as a bridge to another life.
Yes.
How important was, did you create vision boards? Like, how did you keep that hope alive?
Well, I didn't create vision boards, but I would have a goal set. So I'll think, okay, I'll study for this many hours, and then if I study for a little bit more, then maybe I'll do a little better, or any minutes in between, I'll just focus, retouch or revisit or just review again, because every little bit can help in the end goal. So even if it's just tiny goals of I'll study for 5 minutes during my lunch, or just a big goal, like I will graduate from this school in 2020,
Hmm.
No matter what it is, I didn't need a vision board in order to figure it out, because
hmm.
I know along the way something might get a little messed up, but then you just make another little goal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your parents were born in Mexico. They came over here.
Yes.
And got their visas and became citizens. Do you think your story, the Maria Castillo story, would be possible in any other country besides America?
I'm not entirely sure. I was born in Mexico as well, but my life was influenced by being born over there and then coming over here. Because due to that, I had to learn both languages at the same time.
Hmm.
And that definitely gave me an upper hand in both vocabularies and their amplitudes, as well as grammatical sentences, and then that formulated how I write, and then how I did in school, and then how I am now. So I'm not entirely sure if I would have been somewhere else that it would have worked the same way.
Hmm. Interesting. We do have to touch on, you know, again, we're not trying to get you to pick one political side. That's not what this program's about, as our listeners know. But there have been recent talks in the country about immigration and executive orders potentially removing 8 million, you know, undocumented people up for deportation, putting them up for deportation. When you're going to school, I mean, maybe not you in your particular case, but how would that feel, having that threat of deportation and then trying to focus on school and trying to achieve everything that you achieved? How difficult would it be to manage both of those things?
Well, it would be another family stressor. So you would just be so focused on your own personal life that you wouldn't be able to focus on school. So then that goes back to, how much do you value school? Do you value it enough to let go of the stress from home in order to pursue school? Or would you be willing to drop that for your family?
Hmm.
So it depends what your parents have instilled in you for what education means.
Right. And that seems like an impossible choice.
Yes, yeah.
A very difficult choice. Rhetoric like that, you know, that we've been seeing nationally can often lead to depression. And as you've mentioned, that Hispanic teens have such a high rate of suicide. Why do you think that is? Is it because of all these stressors that are faced?
Yes, it definitely is a pathway for that. Because when you're stressed, you can't focus on what's in front of you. You're too busy thinking about what's happening. And then you start falling into this void of, oh, I can't help what's happening. And then you start to blame yourself. And that is where a lot of Latina and Latino students are coming from, that they feel like there's too much pressure on them to fix what they cannot fix. So they instead just drop out because they find nothing worth staying for.
Hmm. Did you know friends who were people in your school that faced that?
Yes.
And what did you try to intervene? Or like, how do you have conversations with those people? How do you get them brought back into the process?
It actually happened to my best friend. We were best friends for a very long time, and then suddenly her family stressors caved in and she couldn't take it anymore. Try as I might, it is, and help as much as I could, she is a whole other person. So for me, coming from my parents telling me how important education is, and her not having that, she couldn't find the reasoning behind me staying.
Hmm.
So to her, they just have different priorities in place. So even if you can tell them how important it is, how I picture it as a lifeline to future success and beyond, they might not see it that way because of parental influence. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah, no, totally. And did you feel kind of helpless too? Because I'm sure you want to bring them into the fold and get them, or do you have the strength and resolve to say, you know what, you're your own person, like you said? Or does that hurt?
It hurts, but you can try. So even if it feels like you're being helpless, even words of encouragement, like, hey, you can come to school today. You can try the homework right now. If you want, I'll come over and I'll help you with the homework. Things like that definitely do help. And they are a form of support, especially when the parents aren't giving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, that's so hard, because I was talking to one of our listeners, John Nicholson, who hosts our Beyond the Waters Edge jazz program, and he was a former principal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying just how hard it is sometimes with parents who are not involved.
Yeah.
Because you try to get them involved with the kids and they don't see the value, because maybe they didn't have necessarily the best experience in school growing up. So it really does become a generational thing. Mm-hmm. And what you were doing is being such a beacon of light and, you know, trying to get them back involved. That's incredible. Let's talk about the Miss Latina Racine organization.
Okay.
For a minute. How did you find out about it? What motivated you to get involved?
Well, they have a lot of ties with SC Johnson, and my dad works there. So through Bird, he heard there's a spot open in case one of your daughters would like to try. And so he just forwarded the information to me, and I figured, hey, why not give it a try?
Wow. So what was the process like? What did you have to do to kind of get involved?
You have to apply, of course. You get a letter of recommendation, and then from there they'll give you a call back and let you know when orientation begins. And from there you figure out community events at which you can volunteer and participate and help out your community. And then that was pretty much the process. And then you wait until the winter when there's a banquet and you come with a platform speech prepared from the application all the way in the beginning months ago. And wow. You retouch it, and then you fix it, present it to a panel of judges, have interviews.
Wow. Yeah. And is the public welcome to this event, or is it like a private
bank?
Oh, so you have to give this speech into it in front of everyone.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Were you nervous about that? You don't seem like you'd be nervous public doing a speech or something.
I'm a very fast talker, so I have to remember to tone it down and breathe. So although I don't seem very nervous, I do have to mentally remember to breathe.
Wow. So what was your platform speech about?
It was exactly about education.
Mm.
So it kind of fit in perfectly.
Right, which is the mission of the Miss Latina Racine, to encourage young women to get involved in education.
Yes.
So what do you think was the winning moment in the speech? Because I know some people say when they write things down, they know there's a particular line that's going to get people, that will get you across the finish line.
There was this part in the beginning and then in the end. So in the beginning, I mentioned Latino pride and how you must be so prideful to want to go to school. And then the very end, it struck where you are a Latina walking into a class and no one else is of your skin tone. And in that moment, you don't feel so proud. But you should.
I got goosebumps. Wow. Yeah, that's a winning speech. Wow. But you were able to tap into that knowing that you went to a diverse kind of district in Racine.
Yes.
You know, but you were still able to understand and empathize with people who don't have that experience. What would you say to people? You know, because a lot of people, you know, are not really interacting with each other. Things seem divided. Mm. You know, what would your words be to those Latina people who are walking into a class and they don't see anyone like them?
Well, the first thing is it's always harder for the woman or person of color, because even though I was close-knit and Racine is very diverse, a lot of my classes did just have white, I feel bad, but white people.
You shouldn't feel bad about that.
I should be unapologetic.
Yeah.
So it's always hard to have to be the first one to make the move constantly, the first move every single time. And you aren't put here to have to make the first move every time. So I would encourage those that aren't a dark skin tone to try to put your own differences aside and welcome that person of color in first, because it always is harder for the person of color to come out first. But if you are the person of color, then to just kind of take a deep breath and just kind of step right in.
And I know for me, because I moved from, I was in an all-white district, and then I went to Lincoln Middle School here in Kenosha, which is in more of the inner city of Kenosha. And it was like a culture shock for me. And I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt the entire time that I was trying to prove to other people that I was not the stereotype.
Yeah.
And that I was somehow, well, you might have seen that on TV, but this is what black people are really like. You know, here's a well-rounded. Did you feel that pressure? And now that you have this such powerful position to kind of say, hey, here's might be what you think, but I'm going to show you who I am.
Well, I still get that still today. I can be in a class, and if four students raise their hand and three of them are white and I am the woman of color, they will probably pick someone else rather than me. Or if I'm in a classroom and a friend needs help, they will probably ask someone that has even a lower level of education than I do over asking me, who is doing very well in her classes, because they assume that I might not be.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're still strong?
Yes.
Because, see, I would start screaming or something, you know, excuse me.
Well, in the end, it's their loss. They didn't ask me.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's strong. I don't have that strength, y'all. I don't. So have you talked to past winners of the Miss Latina race scene? Have they reached out to you? Do you reach out to them? Or have
yes.
you?
Okay. I was actually, my sister was friends with last year's winner.
Oh.
So she and I still keep in touch. It's pretty nice.
Did she have any words of advice for you?
Yes. She, well, she kind of was giving me the invitation and offer of, if you need anything, I'm here.
Right.
Or then she reminded me not to be so nervous mm-hmm. and to breathe again. And and not to get tricked by little boys.
And with that, we're going to reintroduce the program. That's perfect. You're listening to Community Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I am Troy McDonald. My guest today is from the organization and is Miss Latina Racine. Please welcome the 2017 Miss Latina Racine, Maria Castillo. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
So let's talk about, you know, what some people may be thinking, which is, why should there be just a Miss Latina Racine? If, you know, we're all supposed to be together, why celebrate just Miss Latina? I'm sure those are ignorant people who think that, but what's your answer to that?
I feel because we're just so overlooked. So as a Latina, you get white people, black people, this and that in the news, and then you hear about 1960s colored fountains versus white only fountains, and then the whole story of where were the Mexicans? Where was Latin America?
Right.
So I think that's a good point that we often just get overlooked.
Right. And I do think that's true. And I'll be honest, when preparing to do research for this episode, I didn't even know that this organization existed. You know, and I'm so glad that it is, of course, and I'm happy to be here. But I'm thinking, wow, this is exactly what's needed for your community, at least in my outside opinion. Do you think that's important, you know, to have organizations like Miss Latina Racine for the Latina, you know, community? Is that important to you?
Absolutely. Again, with getting overlooked, you sometimes feel as though your voice can't entirely be heard. So maybe me, not only being an adolescent and being Latina, then I can be the comfort zone or safe zone for people to tell me what they'd like to see change in their community. Hmm. And I can network with people in order to figure that out.
I'm sure you've had conversations. What are some of the things that are important that people in your community, in Racine, or in the broader community, that they want changed? You know, we have listeners here who are listening. What should we know and to help change?
I think one of the biggest things is the school-to-prison pipeline that we have.
Yes.
So a lot of that is due to not getting heard. And if we sit down with someone and talk, then maybe we can change their minds. And then they won't feel their need to drop out or then go directly to prison, as the saying goes. Mm. So if we were to sit down and just converse with them about how they're feeling or why they feel a certain way or what's happening in their lives, that could be the turning point and possibly helping them stay in school, so to speak.
Right. And it's also, I mean, it's hard because the pipeline is there. Have you seen the Netflix documentary 13th?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, well, it's a great documentary, and I encourage you to watch it. And they talk about kind of how the policies that, you know, were set up by really different administrations on both sides of the aisle, you know, have contributed to this pipeline. But it's also the environments of which, you know, these kids are growing up in. So how do you kind of change the, I mean, it's hard because you have the policies, and then you also got to change the environment. Mm-hmm. Do you think the school plays a role in this as well and how they teach? As well?
Absolutely. I know there are programs for which they strive to help the students, but sometimes a student doesn't feel it resonate within them when it's just one person speaking to a crowd of 150 at an assembly. Mm-hmm. They don't feel it individually affect them, so they brush it off and continue in their ways. So if we were to have programs that were to have that one-on-one interaction, then maybe it could be different.
Hmm. Well, and that's important, but it's would be a challenge. But I know that there's organizations that, like Miss Latina Racine, which are trying to kind of bridge that gap so that, you know, tying education with mm-hmm. kind of a community bolstering kind of effect. I can edit this out. I want to ask this one next. Describe what that moment was like when you were crowned, when you had found out that you had won.
Well, throughout the entire ceremony, I was just kind of sitting there with my hands crossed in my lap, legs shaking up and down, nervous, forgetting to breathe again. And then they listed off third place, and then it was down to two. And I was very worried, and the girl that could have been first and I were holding hands, and we were like, oh no, well, this was fun. Good luck to either one of us. And then they kind of announced second place, and then I was just kind of left sitting in my seat like, oh my, that means I won? Oh no. And I like held onto the seat. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have to give a speech after that, or just a like a thing?
It was an improv speech. So there was this wonderful woman from the NAACP who kind of presented the award to me and said my name and everything. And then I kind of went up and gave her a semi-hug. And then she threw the microphone at me and was like, say a few words. And I wasn't thrown off guard.
Aw. And, I mean, that just must have been like a crowning achievement, another achievement. What did your parents say?
Well, there was a lot of smiling and a lot of thumbs up from the crowd because they were sitting down at a table. But afterwards, they like hugged me and they were saying how they knew I could do it. And they were just very proud. Then we went to Applebee's.
I love Applebee's.
Yeah.
They got that 2 for $20 special. You know, great deal. So when you won and you had this moment, you obviously have to have a platform. I mean, that you're going to go out and kind of bridge the gap. What do you think is going to be your platform? What do you hope to achieve during your tenure?
Well, I'd like to make more activities accessible that don't require a full-time commitment, because a lot of children, especially Latina students, feel as though they can't commit weekly, especially when they're very stressed out from their family problems,
mm-hmm.
which could be a trigger for them wanting to feel like as though they have to drop out. So maybe having a stress-free activity maybe two or three times a month where they don't have to show up every time, but if they just want to come down and learn a new activity and just de-stress momentarily, that would be great.
That's awesome. What kind of activities do you think? Is that like a going to a sporting event or going to like a book club type thing? Or
it could be.
Okay.
So I think a book club might be a little difficult because then they'd have to access the book and
right.
some might not be able to. So maybe set up some painting or some type of craft to just de-stress. Maybe teach them origami.
Yeah.
Something that would be nice.
Cool. You mentioned, and we've been talking about throughout the entire broadcast, kind of the triggers and the stress triggers. Do you think Latina teens face more stressors than others, or
Well, I don't say they feel more stressors. It's just that theirs aren't focused on enough.
Hmm.
So I think it's time to give them the platform on which to release the stress, so to speak.
Awesome. So you're currently at UW Parkside.
Yes.
You're studying chemical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Why chemical engineering? I would never do that. That seems so difficult. I mean, of course you can do it, but, you know, I mean, it's just, why?
Well, I love chemistry and the fact that everything you know is composed of these little tiny things you can't even see.
Hmm.
So I think that's so awesome. And how everything interacts is crazy. And everyone goes through their day not even noticing how many atoms they're interacting with. So that's the chemistry part. But then engineering is just so challenging that how could I not?
Wow. How could you not? Well, and you know what? And you can't see this at home. I wish you could. Your face is lighting up as you talk about it. So many people, that's how I feel when I'm here at this job. When you find something you love to do, it just radiates from you. You know, so I think that's awesome. It's so important, I think, for women to be involved in the science, technology, engineering, and math. I don't think it played a part in your decision, but do you think that's important for women to get involved and in the sciences?
Oh, absolutely. There's not enough in STEM as it is for women. And then to be a woman of color just makes it an even more bonus. It's just great.
Right. So what is the thing that you're learning now? I mean, I just want to show how smart you are.
Like the classes I'm in?
Yeah, like what's the toughest thing that you're learning?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I just started calculus.
Oh, God.
What are we doing in chemistry?
It's difficult.
We're doing close packed structures and like body centered cube lattices.
And I'm in French. I'm in France right now. We're speaking French. Wow. But no, seriously, I think that's awesome that you're involved. What do you want to do with this? Do you want to become a scientist or do you want to?
Oh, yes, a scientist. I'd like to do research a lot in the lab by myself.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, I mean, that would seem to be very reflective of a job to have. Is there a particular thing that you would like to study?
I don't think so as of now.
Okay.
Yeah. Still
awesome.
Open.
Yeah, awesome. So what year are you at UW-Parkside?
I am a second semester freshman.
Wow. Why Parkside, too? Did you want to stay close to home? I mean, as you were part of the IB program, you could have gone, you know, anywhere. Was it important to you to have local roots in the community still?
Well, I do work here, so that was a bonus. I'd stay here, and then I could pet my dog whenever I wanted. But even then, I figured the first 2 years are just general education anyway.
Yeah.
So why spend $50,000 when you can spend $10,000 for the same education?
Ding! That's the correct answer. That's genius. If someone is listening today and they want to get involved, what would you tell them? Because obviously you had to make a choice to get involved with the Miss Latina Racine organization. What would you tell them?
Well, I know the local Racine website has a lot of events, and they always have sign-up pages if they really want to get involved. If not, if they're currently a student, they can ask their teachers or their counselors or principals ways to get involved. I know counselors have a ton of resources. My own counselor had this big, huge binder of places at which you can volunteer whenever you wanted. So that's always an easy one.
Wow. Do you think that's important to volunteer? Did you volunteer throughout your time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's great. You not only, a lot of the time you're not working by yourself. So you're learning about teamwork with other people. You're learning about time management, when you can volunteer, when you can't, when to leave volunteering to the side and focus on yourself. You're learning about networking, how to be professional, because you'll obviously be volunteering under someone, and you're just meeting a ton of great people and then also helping others. So it's great.
Right. Helping others is so critical. Your parents obviously must be extremely proud. What are they thinking as you're entering college and, you know, the sciences? And
I just think they're massively proud. One of my sisters is graduating this spring, so they're blowing some horns for her, and then my other sister's in Madison.
Wow.
So they're just very excited about all of us.
Yeah, so you have how many brothers, sisters?
I have two sisters.
Two sisters, and they're all in college?
Yes.
Wow, and one's at Madison?
Yes.
Are they all in the sciences?
Yeah, the eldest is doing molecular biology and bioinformatics,
God.
And then the other's doing biology with, she's pre-health.
Oh, geez, folks, I tap out. I'm just a radio guy, you know. I feel so inferior right now. No, I mean, but you obviously love the sciences. What do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about women in the sciences?
That they somehow cannot face a challenge.
Hmm.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it could be because of this little box that we're put in. So, like, if you're in a room and there's a girl and a guy, and it's a guy needing help, he's probably going to ask the other male as opposed to the female. It's just it's just sociology, basically, how we interact with one another. It's been this way. It's antiquated that you will probably see a man as smarter than a woman.
Hmm.
So.
Which is not true in my experience, but a lot of people say, well, you know, the Latinas and others are put in a box. And some of that does have to do with the media and the images that are portrayed. So what would you tell people like me who are in these positions, and what would you want the media to say about the Latina community to maybe portray maybe a different picture?
I always turn on the news, and the first thing here is something bad happening. So whether it's a fire, whether it's a theft, whether it's someone hurting someone else, but you're not hearing what goodness is happening. So you're not hearing, today this person was rescued by a black person. Today this person was rescued by a Mexican. You're hearing the bad constantly. So I would say focus on the good sometimes.
Hmm. That's a good answer. And we will do that. What's the good in your life? What makes you happy?
My dog.
Tell us about your dog.
She's small and white and fluffy, and she gives no judgment. So she's great. Well,
we all need somebody like that.
Yeah.
He walks in, wants a pet on the stomach, some food. That's all.
So carefree. How we should all live.
What kind of dog?
She is a poodle. She was born in Mexico.
Oh.
We brought her over.
Oh, wow. Interesting. What would you say to little girls or grandmothers, grandfathers who are listening to this broadcast and thinking, wow, I want my daughter to be just like you?
I think they'll need to show them humbleness and to value their priorities. So.
Right. And that's so difficult, and especially, how old are you?
I'm 18.
18, okay. So you're a lot younger than me. I'm 25. But in the social media generation, which you are a part of, it's so hard when everything is about likes, follows, engagement, to be able to be humble.
Yes.
That's almost the antithesis of what, you know, is in.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that need to, you know, be a part of the generation and then be humble? How do you do that?
I think it's just having to put the phone down and go interact with nature. So even if it's just sitting outside for 20 minutes watching the wind blow, watching the trees sway, I think that can kind of teach you about more about yourself than how many followers you have.
Wow. That is profound. Do you meditate?
Sometimes, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's extremely powerful. And obviously it's a support system. You have parents who are supportive of that. What have you learned? And this is going to sound like a really like ooh up in the clouds question, but you'll get it because you meditate as well. What do you learn about yourself from the trees, from nature?
Well, you learn about not just simple things. You're learning about how often you're breathing. Hmm. You learn about how often you're blinking. You learn about how much you're focusing to the detail, whether it's what you're feeling. So do you go through your day feeling more, or seeing more, hearing more? So that's kind of what I like to learn from it.
What's the most important out of those? Maybe it's listening. I don't know.
Yeah, I like listening the best.
Yeah, wow. And I would think in your world, that's almost the most important thing, because one mistake, if you're not listening, if you're not paying attention, I mean, it could throw everything off, you know, in an experiment or whatever during your classes.
Yeah, I think it's just that people forget to listen. And instead, they're thinking of their reply instead of understanding the other side and listening. So that's why that one's my favorite.
Yeah, and see, that's so true. In this divided, you know, I mean, we always think we're so divided world that sometimes we think about the reply before we think about
what the other person said.
What they feel, how they got to that conclusion. Because even if they are on the opposite side, there might be something there that you can agree with, or not maybe agree with, but understand how they came to that conclusion. We're getting kind of close to the end. We got a few more minutes here. Is there a question that I should have asked you, but I didn't?
I do not think so.
Oh. I feel good, people. Let's talk briefly about your platform as we kind of wrap up and kind of move into the future. You're talking about kind of the ending the prison to pipeline. Have you known people that have gone to prison? And how do you think that affects their life?
I don't personally have had close friends that have gone, but I have had classmates.
Mm-hmm.
So I have known people who just stopped showing up one day, and then I'll ask, hey, what happened to the person who sat over there? And they'll say, oh, they're in jail. And that's just always a weird feeling.
Oh,
but
gosh.
That must, to your latter question, that must be entirely awful, to have to have to deal with that on your record, especially if it ended up being over a silly mistake. That must just feel awful.
Right. Do you think that the systems and the establishment can help these people? Because, you know, some of these things are, you know, maybe silly or frivolous. How can the system and the school help these people? Instead of kind of kicking them out of school, should we be bringing them back into the school and educating them?
I was a part of this program called the Restorative Justice Program, where instead of just punishing, expelling, suspending a student, we would, us, the students, would sit down with the other student and kind of lead a peer mediation and kind of resolve what happened and then give them a second shot instead of giving them that punishment right away.
Wow.
And one of the things I did plan on my platform was to have that group kind of expand to all schools, so that way you wouldn't have a direct punishment that be, that has to be on your record to then lead to prison. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. And to have the empathy to do that is, how do you have the empathy and be able to say, well, they do deserve that second shot when so many people are just saying, you know, screw them, they messed up.
Yeah. I think all of us just have to remember, we didn't ask to be born, so we might as well help one another. So we're all human. We were kind of put here, so might as well go with it and help each other, not hurt each other.
Hmm. That is so true. If you could go back and tell the young girl growing up in Racine, the young Maria, one thing about the journey you've been on, what would you say to her?
Huh. That's a deep question. I would tell her to talk to the student that talks the least in the class a little bit more. Yeah.
Wow. I've asked that question because I love that question. That is the best answer I've ever heard to that question. Why? I mean, I can kind of get the where you're going, but explain to the people why that's so important.
Well, on the last day of high school, we were practicing for graduation, and there was a boy behind me, and he was crying, and he had been in all of my classes. And we had been friends, but not very close friends. So I asked him, hey, what's wrong? And then he just, like, gave me a hug and said he's been waiting all day. He's been sad, and no one had bothered to ask him why.
Oh, gosh.
And then it kind of struck me that he's been in all of my classes every single day for 4 years, and he barely spoke. So why hadn't I approached him before?
Hmm. And you didn't worry about, I mean, your popularity, you know, why are you talking to that kid? You didn't care about that?
No.
Wow. And I'm sure he appreciated that.
Yeah. We're friends now.
That's awesome. You know what? I can't think of a better way to end. I mean, that just paints the whole picture of, you know, of who you are. So how can people get more information about the Miss Latina Racine organization?
There is a 2018 application coming up on the Miss Latina website. So if people would like to be more involved or interested, they can always check the page.
Perfect. And the website is MissLatinaRacine.org?
Yes.
Correct? Perfect. Thank you so much, Maria, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. For more information on the Miss Latina Racine organization, we just mentioned it. Again, visit MissLatinaRacine.org. I'm Troy McDonald for WGTD. Thanks for listening. Classical music from Wisconsin Public Radio is next.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring beautiful jewelry and decor options from Unique Creations. New this year, hanging plant baskets. The market is open Saturdays from 10 until 2 in the lobby of the Rody Center for the Arts in downtown Kenosha. Support comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside Music Department, presenting the choirs of the university and the Concord Chamber Orchestra Sunday at 3:30 in the Bedford Concert Hall, featuring selections from Calling All Dawns by Christopher Tin. Admission, $10 for adults and $5 for students. Support comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside Music Department, presenting the choirs of the university and the Concord Chamber Orchestra Sunday at 3:30 in the Bedford Concert Hall, featuring selections from Calling All Dawns by Christopher Tin.